I've been presenting the series entitled Sent from God or Why I Am a Seventh-day Adventist. You can see there the schedule with the titles. In part one, we looked at a man sent from God. The scripture which above all others has both the foundation and the central pillar of the Advent faith was the declaration unto 2300 days and then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Daniel 8:14, and that quote is from Great Controversy. And we found out that William Miller was called by God to present a very special message in North America about the soon coming of Jesus Christ at October 22nd, 1844. To William Miller and his co-laborers, it was given to preach the warning in America. This country became the center of the Great Advent movement. It was here that the prophecy of the first angel had its most direct fulfillment. But we discovered something very interesting about that, and that is exactly this, that it actually started before William Miller in South America. It went over to Spain, came back to Mexico, went into England, then the United States, then the Middle East, then Europe, and up in Scandinavia. Folks, William Miller was not an isolated incident about some kook who made a prediction. You just check all these X's there. By the way, I put the smiley face in Scandinavia because they forbid the adults to preach. And if they did, they'd be arrested. So God raised up the children. Amen? The children preached it. And so we see that the foundation of our church, the foundation truth, was solidly cut in stone back in 1840s. Well, then in part two, because it ended in a great disappointment, we discovered that God sent an answer. And for that, I want to quote, the subject of the sanctuary was the key which unlocked the mystery of the disappointment of 1844. It opened to view the complete system of truth connected and harmonious, showing that God's hand had directed the great Advent movement and revealing present duty as brought to light through the position and the work of His people. The sanctuary truth, my friends. And when we look at the sanctuary, we discover where Jesus is, what He is doing, why He hasn't come, and what our duty is. It's all about Jesus. And in 1844, He didn't come the second time because the event that took place was Jesus moved from the holy place into the most holy place and started the final ministry of judgment of which the Adventist church was raised up to carry this message that was started back in the 1800s. And now today we're going to look at part three, a woman sent from God. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Oh, Father in heaven, how thankful we are that as we look at this chain of events that took place right at the right time at your command, we clearly see that you've never left your people hanging. That you are there, you do care, you know what you're doing, and when we put the links together, we end up with a super strong chain. Now I want your Spirit to bring the calming influence upon us as we look at this all-important topic, and that we may see clearly how you know exactly what you're doing, Now use me in spite of me, Lord, to be a blessing, please. This is so pertinent and important right now. And I just want to be a faithful deliverer of yours, Lord. So use me in spite of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A woman sent from God. We're going to answer four questions today. Question number one. What appeared at the conclusion of every time prophecy? Question number two. Does the Bible allow for modern day prophets? Question number three. How do we know that Ellen White was a biblical prophet? And question number four, why am I a Seventh-day Adventist? Let me show you something outstanding that I know you'll appreciate. I'm going to put a chart up here on this background. The first will be the text, the second will be the time prophecy, and the third will be the prophet. So let's take a look at this. In Genesis 6, you will see that Noah was told 120 years. And that's exactly what happened, and Noah was the prophet. In Genesis 15:13, Abraham said that his people would sojourn for 400 years. When that time ended, Moses took over. And then in Genesis 41:26, Joseph said, there'll be 7 years of feast, 7 years of famine, and Joseph was the prophet. And then in Numbers 14:34, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses said, and Joshua was the prophet at the end of the 40 years. And then in Jeremiah wrote that 70 years of captivity, when the 70 years ended, Ezra and Nehemiah came along and fulfilled what was prophesied. Number six, Daniel 4:13-16, Daniel said that you'll be insane for 7 years, and Daniel was the prophet. And finally, number seven, Daniel 9:24-27, the 490-year probation of the Jews, and when that time closed, there was JB. Who's that? John the Baptist and Paul. But there happens to be one more time prophecy. It only happens to be the longest and last in the Bible. The 2300-day year prophecy. The very message preached by William Miller and all the oodles of other pastors in other areas at the same time. There was one more prophecy. And folks, at the end of that prophecy, just like all the rest, there was a prophet, Ellen White. God does not leave His people hanging out there. After every time prophecy, there was a leader chosen by God to help carry it through and to guide the people. Please read the book of Judges. And you will discover the Israelites were great and wonderful. And then after a while, they got like Joshua died. And pretty soon they hit the doldrums. And then the enemies came in. And then they cried out to God. And God raised up a deliverer. Now, I just told you right now the whole book of Joshua. Because it happened over and over and over again. And every time they cried out to God, He raised up a prophet. Well, I'm sorry, but the 2300 days were up in 1844, and that's when Ellen White was called to the prophetic ministry. So what appears at the conclusion of every time prophecy? A prophet. That's right. Every time prophecy. Ellen White, there's when she was born and when she died in Gorham, Maine. The most translated woman writer in the world. Number two, the most translated American author of either gender. Number three, That's five, six, whatever. 5,000 periodical articles, 40 books, 50,000 pages of manuscripts. Steps to Christ was published in more than 140 languages. All by a woman who at the age of 9 was hit with a stone in her face when she was in the 3rd grade and could never go back to school. And was told, the family was told, she will soon die. By the way, she was how old when she died, you mathematicians? Is it 88? 88. She had approximately 2,000 visions and dreams. And the first one was in the December of 1844 at the age of 17. By the way, they don't know the exact date of that first vision. They just know it was December of 1844. Well, believe it or not, before Ellen White received her vision, there were two men who were given the vision. The first one was William Ellis Foy, and he was a seminary-trained Black Freedom Baptist and a Millerite preacher who experienced two visions during 42. I believe he had two more in 43. He made an effort to preach them, but it just fizzled out. So God brought Hazen Foss the burden. Believe it or not, Hazen Foss, by the way, who was a... I think his brother married one of Ellen White's sisters. He fizzled out because he refused to do it. And then Ellen White was called to take the mantle. I thought you'd find that interesting. But what does the Bible say about modern day prophets? Well, let's look at Romans 12:6. In Romans 12:6, it lists the gifts that are given. And in verse 6, one of them is what? Prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 12, it lists the gifts. And in verse 28, one of them, or in verse 10, one of them is? And prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 12, same chapter, verse 28, they listed the list again, prophets are included. Ephesians 4:11, some prophets. And listen to what Joel says, folks. Joel 2, which everybody, every commentator says this is an apocalyptic book like Revelation, at least in this portion of it. It's talking about the future, even though it happened way back then. And Joel wrote this, "And afterward your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions." But here's the kicker for me. For me, the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, the book that has our marching orders coming directly out of Daniel into Revelation, we're told in chapter 12, which is a sketch of the history of the world from the time of the great controversy, from the time that there was a battle in heaven till our day today. The last verse in chapter 12 says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed who do two things. They keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus." Now, no one here questions the commandments of God, but you may scratch your head and say, well, okay, the testimony of Jesus, what exactly is that? Well, there's only one place to find the answer, and that's in the Bible, and it happens to be in Revelation 19, where it says, "And I fell at the feet to worship him." This is John, after he received a vision, fell at the feet of the angel, and the angel rebuked him. "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant, just like you, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, John, only, For the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. Well, wait a minute. Let's go back to 12:17. There's two things. The last day church will keep the commandments of God, and the last day church will have the Spirit of prophecy. Now, I want to clarify something really quick that honestly isn't, well, I guess everything's important, so I'll do it anyway. And that is, the Spirit of prophecy is not just Ellen White. If you read that carefully, those two texts, the Spirit of prophecy is the Spirit that was in every prophet. The Holy Spirit. And she's one of them. And she came at the end of the 2300 day prophecy, just as all those other prophets came at the end of those other time prophecies. By the way, do you know I skipped a couple prophecies, time prophecies in the Bible? And they too had a prophet at the end. Because my slide was too short, I couldn't put any more in there. This is really amazing to me. And so, question number two, does the Bible allow for modern day prophets? The answer is yes. You see, most Christians believe that that all stopped when the last book of the Bible was written. And that's one of the reasons, folks, why we're pegged for being a cult. Because they say to us, you know, you had this woman, she was a prophet, and she's the one that told you guys what to do, and you said, okay. And notice this, she's a prophet, I know it. But you will see that all the major doctrines of our church were discovered by someone else, in which she and James, after prayer and Bible study, agreed with. The first one is the 2300 days in which William Miller found studying his Bible, and the buku amount over in Europe and England and South America that also discovered it at the same time. No texting, no telephone, no computer. And so the Bible allows for modern day prophets. Well, let's take a look at the third question. The third question was, I forgot, how do we know Ellen White's a prophet? Okay, here's the test of a prophet. The biblical test of a prophet. All right. Number one. A true prophet's message will be in complete harmony with the Word of God and the law of God. Isaiah 8:20, and I know all of you can recite that from heart. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. Ellen White did not contradict the Bible. Number two. What happened? Oh, I went the wrong direction. Number two, a true prophet predictions must come to pass. Deuteronomy 18, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen to come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. But we could go on for hours here on that one. Isn't that great? I wanted you to know that in 1948, Ellen White said, "Streams of publishing light." In 1848, when our early pioneers were penniless, including Ellen and James, she was shown that a paper should be printed, and from this small paper, a publishing work would be like streams of light that would go clear around the world. And folks, come on. These were farmers, man. They lived in Northeast United States. They didn't have any money. They didn't have any pressure. And she received this vision and she wrote it out. Surely we have seen earth. And she wrote this around. Streams of light that would clear, that go clear around the world. So what do we got? For example, in 1954, the Seventh-day Adventist Church distributed $7 million worth of literature in 197 languages. Folks, you understand, I think we're the only church still, except for the Eastern Orthodox Church, I believe, that has a printing press in Russia, that has 3ABN in Russia, that has a Seventh-day Adventist seminary in Russia. We're talking about a woman who was supposed to die at the age of 9, who God loved to give her advice like this one, and follows through. We have printing presses everywhere now, folks. Here's one more. I don't know. In 1815, I saw that soon that the mysterious rappings of the Fox sister, that was 1848, and she wrote this in 1850, would spread more and more, that Satan's power would increase and some of the devoted followers would have power to work miracles. Okay, check this out. Remember the date of her prediction, United States had no mediums, no trances, no spirit messages, no organized group or company of spiritists when she wrote that. Do I need to go on? You can drive down the street here and somebody say palm reader, tarot card reader, seances. Walt Disney is a purveyor of spiritualism. And there was nothing like that when Ellen White made that statement. Anyway, hopefully that helps you to know that I've got more. You know, she predicted the earthquake in San Francisco. And also I found a quote in which it's fairly clear that she said there would be a world war at a time when there was never such a thing. Pretty interesting. Number 3. The true prophet prophesies to edify the church, counseling and advising in religious matters. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in the tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Need I go on? I mean, the Seventh-day Adventist Church from the ashes of the great disappointment is now worldwide. If statistics hold, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is one of the smallest world denominations that has more schools and hospitals than the rest of the world, except for Catholics. Now, come on. All because there was a prophecy that ended in 1844 and God knew that somebody had to be there to mop up. Number 4, a true prophet will exalt Jesus Christ as Son of God and the Savior of humanity. 1 John 4:12, you read that. Let me just do this. Desire of Ages, Christ Object Lessons, Mount of Blessings, Steps to Christ, Confrontation, Need I Go On? And the Library of Congress certified that the best book on the life of Jesus is The Desire of Ages. This woman pointed to Jesus Christ. Well, there's a fifth one. And the fifth one is the true prophet will speak with authority. And that's Matthew 7:29. Now remember what her job was, or her calling, I should say. How many of you would like to meet the General Conference President and tell him what to do? Oh, I'm glad to meet you, Elder Wilson. How nice of you to be here today. You're doing a great job, and we're very thankful. And is there anything we can do for you? And Ellen Wright would write a letter. Brother, you did not do right. And here's what you need. God showed me, by the way, you read this stuff. God showed me that you did not do right. And sometimes God showed her things that no one else knew, except the person she was writing to. And that person wasn't in his pocket when this happened. I get excited. That's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Number six, two more. A true prophet will bear good fruit. Now, outside of her private jet that she had, her five palatial estates, constantly gone to Hawaii. You know, I say that because many of these famous preachers have things that Ellen White would never tolerate. She lived basically hand to mouth, and whenever there was a need, she would give. Number seven and the last one, the true prophet, when in vision, will manifest physical signs. And of course, you read Daniel 10. Daniel didn't breathe. Daniel lost his strength. Daniel fell down. When Ellen White was in vision, they certified she was not breathing. Her longest vision was 4 hours. And because she was being accused of mesmerism, when she would go in vision in public, there were individuals that would test her while she was in vision. So you see, this is pretty persuasive. Pretty persuasive. So the answer to number three questions, how do we know that Ellen White is a prophet? Because she fulfills or meets all the biblical criteria. Now let me show you this one more time, because I consider this to be outstanding. At the end of every prophecy in the Bible, there was a prophet there to carry it out. And Ellen White is the one in the modern day who God chose after He chose two men first. So finally, question number four. Oh, why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Let me just read this, but I got a couple other things to cover here real quick, and then we're done. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist because I read three books about the life of Ellen White. I concluded three things from those three books. By the way, I was 26 years old from the Catholic Church, way up in northern Wisconsin, isolated from my family, who, are, as I said, were Catholic and thought I had lost my mind. I discovered, number one, she's a prophet. Number two, she experienced many problems, trials, opposition, and tragedies in her life. You know, two sons and a husband all died prematurely. Number three, she showed me Jesus. In a time of crisis in my life as a brand new Seventh-day Adventist Christian, the desire of ages brought me out. And number four, and this isn't a joke, I don't ever want to be a prophet. One of the books that I read is on the right there. It's by Renee Norbergen, called Ellen White, the Prophet of Destiny. I don't remember the other two, folks. I honestly didn't. I prayed and I tried. I put down another book that was written back in my time. But there are books available you need to read. If you have any questions, you're cheating yourself if you don't read up on this. Here's what I suggest everybody to do, though. Especially if you have little children. Get the 8-volume set of Arthur White's biography. I guess that's 6. I've read every one of them. Read a chapter a day to your children. Because it starts where we started. It actually goes beyond. It starts in what is it, 1827. It gives the sweep of our church coming into existence, how it was founded in prophecy, the struggles they had. Our kids need to hear this. So I strongly urge you to consider getting these six volumes. By the way, you can buy one volume at a time. Read it and then get the next one. In the ABC truck here, they have them. And if I wouldn't wait, though. Meaning, I'd say, when you come, bring one book for sure for me. Or all six, whichever you want to do. And you can't help but see that Ellen White was a prophet. And again, especially because how much he suffered. And so, my friends, that's it for part three. God sent a woman to lead this church after the incredibly rugged, devastating time of the great disappointment. And from the ashes of absolutely nothing, look at this here. This is God. And next week, we're going to look at part number four. And it's called, God Sent a Time. Father, I want to thank you for giving us this information for every person who's here. There's a reason for it, Lord. And Lord, I forgot to tell them. The reason I read those three books is when I joined this church at 26, way up in an isolated place in northern Wisconsin where there were no young people but myself and a couple. All the rest were gray-haired people. Some of them didn't like Ellen White. And because of that, I decided I better find out if I made a mistake or not. Because my family's back home gunning for bear. And I read those books, and I saw the reason people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church don't like Ellen White is either because their parents hit them over the head with her, which she never intended, or number two, they don't like what she says. Help us not to be like that, Lord, so we can move on from here. To bring the glorious message of the three angels, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry. As we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ, He is coming soon.